You're listening to YAP, Young and Profiting Podcast, a place where you can listen, learn, and profit. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Hala Taha, and on Young and Profiting Podcast, we investigate a new topic each week and interview some of the brightest minds in the world. My goal is to turn their wisdom into actionable advice that you can use in your everyday life, no matter your age, profession, or industry. There's no fluff on this podcast, and that's on purpose. I'm here to uncover value from my guests by doing the proper research and asking the right questions. If you're new to the show, we've chatted with the likes of ex-FBI agents, real estate moguls, self-made billionaires, CEOs, and best-selling authors. Our subject matter ranges from enhancing productivity, how to gain influence, the art of entrepreneurship, and more. If you're smart and like to continually improve yourself, hit the subscribe button because you'll love it here at Young and Profiting Podcast. This week on YAP, we're chatting with Vinny Positivo, CEO of Vinny Positivo Entertainment, talent innovator, and podcast host. Vinny is widely known for his inclusive and impactful approach to brand building and personal brand development. He's also the host of I Have a Podcast, which is a collection of conversations with celebrities and creatives who aim to inspire us in our everyday lives. With over 25 years of experience, he and his teams have become well-trusted connectors who sell, develop, produce, launch, distribute, and amplify some of the most talked about original series and talent brands in modern pop culture. Through the use of original content, Vinny has helped elevate the personal brands of Mandy Moore, Ashton Kutcher, Jessica Simpson, Ashley Simpson, Tyrese Gibson, Lauren Conrad, Diane Von Furstberg, Rob Lowe, and so many more. In this episode, we talk about how Vinny landed in the entertainment industry, his time at MTV, and the notion of being a celebrity. We'll also discuss Vinny's advice for standing out online, why he left TV for podcasting, and the personality traits that make people naturally shine. Let's get into it. Welcome, Vinny.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Of course, super excited for this conversation. I love having friends on the show.
Yes.
You are a new friend. And I'd love to hear a bit about your career journey because I host a podcast where a lot of young people listen to.
Yes.
And a big question people have is like, how do I break into the entertainment industry? And you are the guy.
Oh my gosh.
For this.
I got goosebumps when you said that.
So everybody asks me this question, whether they're upcoming podcasters or just regular people that want to work in this industry. So talk to us about your career journey. How did you get into this field? What did you end up doing? What are some highlights of your career?
Yeah, I love that. Thank you for asking that question and getting me to talk a little bit about putting some of the chaos that I've experienced into some real kindness and in a real format for success. I worked at MTV for 10 years, from 98 to 2007. And in my time there, I was able to start a talent development department, which was an internal department, a casting department that cast the VJs for TRL and MTV News and MTV 2. I went on for MTV 3. And had an awesome time working at MTV and then launching my own agency. Prior to MTV, when I went to school, I thought I would be a Broadway producer. I knew I wanted to work, you know, in New York, and I knew I wanted to create content. I also knew I needed to be surrounded by talent. I've always felt up-leveled when surrounded by truly amazing talent. But none of that would have happened if I didn't have some technical skills. When I was 15, I learned to wire two VCRs together, and I literally would edit. I would make my edits on two VCRs, which helped build my endurance, which kept my stamina high, which kept me alert. I was still able to answer phone calls and edit at the same time. I was killer at writing one sheets. I can write decks that were beautiful. I'm solid around Adobe. I'm great at file management. None of those have anything to do with finding people. You know what I mean? So like, it's a weird skill set to have for a casting person. My boss, Rod Issa, he was the brilliant casting mind. Like he didn't need extra help casting. He needed help organizing it. And I got to learn from literally, I think, the best person in this industry who created this genre of storytelling and brand empowerment and allowing people to claim who they want to be. And now with podcasts, and now we can own it.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That was not the option.
It's amazing.
20 years ago.
I love it. I mean, coming from somebody who almost had a reality TV show so many times, yeah. I don't even know if you know the full. I was almost on Love and Hip Hop. Mona Scott was begging me to drop out of school and be on Love and Hip Hop when I had the Sorority of Hip Hop and was dating my producer boyfriend.
Well, you're in the center of all culture right there.
Exactly.
I mean, so yeah, that makes sense. And yeah. I love Mona.
Yeah. So she was begging me to be on Love & Hip Hop. Then I almost had a show on MTV that they filmed me all summer and they pulled the plug.
Right.
And you were with MTV for 10 years when MTV was like the coolest thing in the world. When I was getting shot from my show on MTV, it was right after Jersey Shore. It was around 2013. They shot me in 2011 and 2013. It was after you left. Mm-hmm. I did two pilots with them. But even then, MTV was huge. Yeah. It's not that big anymore. But at the time, it must have felt really nice to be like, I'm Vinny and I work at MTV. Right? Must yeah. have felt like you were like king of New York. And as he rose up the ranks and as reality TV was hotter than ever, why did you leave MTV and how did it feel when you left? Was it really hard to be Vinny on his own without MTV's Vinny in yeah, front of it?
That's some of that. Some of the answer is perspective. I didn't know yet. I have to be honest, MTV in 2007, by the time I had left, MTV wasn't what it was when I started. The culture wasn't coming from television the way that it used to. The same way that I flocked to working in the music industry and I would go out every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night in New York because culture and pop culture and news and deals and relationships and TV shows all happened from like 11 p.m. to, you know, 2 a.m. Yeah. out at night. Like that's where the community piece was. So for a long time, my successes are predicated on the successes of a talent that I hired. And for a long time, I held on to the shows as what I was most proud of. Osbourne's Newlyweds, Punk'd, Laguna Beach, The Hills, Run's House, Andy Mill. I can come up with like Eighth and Ocean, the first show that I ever got to create. And all of those shows ended up, you know, they're in 4:3 ratio and they're not in HD. And media gets old. There's a time on media. The people before us talked about tape and now we're talking about cards and the generation next is clouds, you know? Yeah. So it's very interesting how you try to prove yourself in this industry where you're only as great as your last hit. You know, you're only as successful as the last superstar or star that you sort of launched. When I left in 2007, there were two events that happened. One is in 2006, the Ashley Simpson show was doing great. Ashley had a horrible moment on SNL, and ultimately, we ended up not moving forward with the Ashley Simpson show. And I was asked to go out and find the next Ashley Simpson show. And I found this amazing singer. She was dating Travie McCoy. She was a Christian recording artist who was about to become a pop star, and she was writing her first pop album. And MTV was like, that is never going to work for us. And Katy Perry had a very profitable career and a successful career without and despite this, you know, being able to get a show on MTV. I had to go out and find when Benji and Joel from Good Charlotte had graduated from MTV and were moving on to projects. I went out and looked for a new host for All Things Rock. And I remember bringing Pete Wentz into MTV and MTV was like, he's not even like the lead singer. Like, what are you doing, Vin? What are you bringing in to us? And I realized in that moment, oh, like maybe my definition of talent has changed or maybe their definition of talent has changed. And to your point, there were a lot more screens being introduced in 2007, 2006. AOL Music, I think, had the biggest impact on TRL. And then the iPod came. And then, you know, all that stuff, all of those pieces of technology.
So you ended up basically feeling like you had to leave.
I felt like it was time for if I wanted to keep developing talent, and if I was going to work with the talent that I wanted to be working with, that the best way for me to work would be to leave the network.
So let me ask you a question. Let's move into personal branding and becoming a celebrity.
Yes.
Do you feel like anybody can be a celebrity, or is there some sort of qualities that make somebody a good celebrity?
So I think that everyone can be celebrated. And I think that we often get celebrities and people who we are celebrating confused because of the speed of social media and maybe people not being as impeccable as I wish they could be in speech. But I also think it's wonderful that we can refer to each other as celebrities and that we give ourselves the grace to put us on that stage that we put, you know, some of these icons that we grew up on. You know, that being said, with the screens being smaller, larger, rounder, it's all about audiences. So what makes a person a celebrity is being celebrated, and you need an audience for that. And there are more places for audience to congregate than ever. So how do you let your audience celebrate you? I think that to me becomes an important and interesting piece of the brand, and also part of your brand ID. How will you let, are you selling them t-shirts and constantly selling them things, and you have this sort of relationship with them that where they feel good about buying your merch and they feel rewarded, and that's because that's the ecosystem that you built for them. So if you don't come out with merch, then they're disappointed because you're not giving them the opportunity to purchase the way you ask them to celebrate your brand financially. Then there are what we probably would refer to as like celebrities who are really making impact. And I almost drop my voice down when I say this, but like the people who aren't just making an impact in media on camera, but are doing it in real life too. And I'm seeing celebrities, especially in podcasting, where it's the first time they can own their own media. Like usually, I mean, they're celebrities and they're famous, but they're for hire. Like they're getting a paycheck. They don't own the thing that they're showing up for unless you're at a certain caliber. You know what I mean? So this is a different playing field, and how people choose to allow their audience to celebrate them, I think there's a secret in longevity in that. I think if it's an emotional setup, if you're rewarding them with great information, if you're rewarding them by letting them in on your wins and your fails and your human moments, then you're not asking them to celebrate you at any given moment. You're just giving them the opportunity to celebrate you and your wins and also theirs at a time that works for them. And I love that. I love that about podcasting. I know people hate the algorithm, but I love that about the algorithm is that it gives people the time to be present in what they need to do so that hopefully when the algorithm tells them it's time to move on, or when they feel like it's time to move on, that the right image or video or, you know, sort of messaging is there.
And now a quick break from our sponsors. Young and Profiters, they may call me the podcast princess, but I'm also the LinkedIn queen. I've been a LinkedIn influencer for 6 years now, and I teach one of the most popular courses about LinkedIn. And I love to teach sales on LinkedIn because when it comes to B2B sales, LinkedIn has got that on lock. LinkedIn is where all the decision makers are hanging out. There are 180 million senior level decision makers on LinkedIn and 10 million C-suite decision makers. These people are on LinkedIn and they're in the mode to buy. They're using LinkedIn for their buying journey, to research vendors or sales reps that they might work with, to look up how to solve their problems, to learn from industry thought leaders. They are in the mode to buy, whereas on other platforms, they're in the mode to be entertained. You want to get them in the right mindset. You want to cut through the noise with LinkedIn ads. In fact, 79% of B2B marketers rate LinkedIn as their top channel for paid media. And LinkedIn has the best targeting because they've got all these different inputs. People are putting their resume basically up on there. And so there's so many keywords that they can use to target the right decision makers so they can hear about how you solve their problems. And I've got a special gift for all you young and profiters who want to try LinkedIn ads. You can get $100 credit. LinkedIn was super generous. If you want to make B2B marketing everything it can be and get $100 credit on your next campaign, go to linkedin.com/yap, Y-A-P. Again, if you want to claim your credit, go to linkedin.com/yap. Terms and conditions apply. Young and profiters, are you dreaming about starting a course? Do you want to go from one-to-one to one-to-many and scale yourself? If you're thinking about starting a course, then you need to hear about Kajabi. Kajabi is the OG of course platforms. I've got creators in my network like Jenna Kutcher and Amy Porterfield who have been using Kajabi for over a decade. These ladies know what they're doing. They are literally the course queens. And so I took a page from their playbook and I started using Kajabi. I've been playing around with it because I'm launching a podcast course next month and I need a lot of features that only a course platform would have, like Kajabi. And they've thought of it all. No matter your niche, Kajabi makes it easy to turn your skills, passions, and experiences into enriching online courses, exclusive membership sites, subscription podcasts, thriving communities, personalized coaching, and so much more. One of the smartest things that I did when I launched my course is I focused on the content. I lasered in on that. I made sure people were getting the best investment they could, that I wouldn't get any refunds, that people would tell their friends and my course would be successful by word of mouth. And I did that by focusing on my content, what I was good at, and not all the tech. Leave the tech stuff for your course to Kajabi. They are experts in that area and they've thought of everything that you would ever need for your course. So if you want to start your course, now is your chance. As you guys may know, I always ask my sponsors for a free trial for any software that we talk about on the show. And Kajabi was super generous. They gave us a free 30-day trial that you can get at kajabi.com/profiting. Right now, Kajabi is offering a free 30-day trial to start your business if you go to kajabi.com/profiting. That's kajabi.com/profiting. Go to kajabi.com/profiting and join the creators and entrepreneurs who have made over $7 billion. So we were talking offline and you were mentioning that discoverability is something that's really important to you. And you feel like you are able to help people become more searchable and visible to the people they want to be visible to.
Yeah.
So talk to us about some things that we can do to become more visible in our industry and how we can stand out online and your guidance there.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Because I'll tell you what, we're everyone's Googling, everyone is searching, right? And I promise you people are out there searching for you and you might say, no, they're not, they don't know me. And you're right. They don't know you. That's why they're searching. And where do you think they're looking? On, I don't know, award lists is a great place. I love recommending people to win awards. Some awards, to be honest, you can buy. Some of them are $200 as an application fee, and unfortunately, it is what it is. But even to those, I have to say, the uptick to those is I know firsthand when a network executive tells their development team to write a list of 50 podcasters. I know, I promise you, they're going to go look at award-winning lists. They're going to look at the W3 Awards, the Communicator Awards, the Telly Awards, the Webby Award, all of these awards that are approachable to brands on different levels, because it shows that you care, A, enough about your craft to submit $200 to win. So paying for awards is not anything new. So yes, so you have to pay. You have to pay to play. You have to pay to distribute your content on social media now. And you certainly have to pay to be vetted to see if you're winning awards. So winning awards, I like to bring up because not only am I looking for award-winning people, it's people who care about their projects, who are putting it out there. That certainly helps you be discoverable. Credits. The amount of people who don't update their credits, even on IMDb. IMDb allows, so you can't upload a digital series to IMDb as like a project, but you can upload podcasts. You can put yourself as a guest, a producer, a host, if you want these types of credits. And IMDb and Google are like married for, like, you want to change.
You're giving me so many ideas.
Oh my God, I love that. I'll throw this out. You want to change what shows up on your Google search images in the same week, upload your IMDb images, your photos, or just upload 12 of them and see how many of them, you know, pop in. Almost the same week, you'll see in Google image search, it pop up. But yeah, you know, and I think IMDb is a great place to be. First off, traditionally, IMDb is kind of known as, it's the Internet Movie Database, and it's certainly where film and TV and actors and directors and sort of that traditional creatives are. But now that we have this extended creative family where traditionally non-creative people get to be creative, it's exciting how many doctors and specialists are on IMDb now. And they're saying, yes, I'm a doctor, I'm an orthopedist, I'm a brain surgeon, but I also make great content and I can talk about what I do and make great content. That's going to up-level the conversation. That's going to reset the vocabulary potential around that topic. That part to me gets, I get the most excited about that.
Yeah, that's really exciting. It's a great tip, because you think IMDb, it's usually actors and actresses, but you're saying any if you've been on a podcast, you can upload a profile and start a profile on IMDb.
Yeah. I also want to point out profiles. And there are some places on, you know, on Instagram, there are certain ways and places that and certain fields that are searchable versus others on LinkedIn. Certainly, if you're watching what you're putting in these sections, you see how it populates Google And it tells Google these words, if your SEO strategy, so if your SEO strategy and your brand strategy are not in sync and you're using words to describe yourself that aren't being used to describe your services on your own page, you're doing a big disservice by not connecting those dots. Yeah. So by having a more linear approach to how you're describing yourself in social and copying that online, and allowing the verbiage to match, it allows Google to understand why your website is relevant to these certain keywords that you're basically putting in there. And I think that profiles is probably the biggest area of improvement, I think. It's the easiest place where people can come in. And I can give other tips about standing out. You know, on LinkedIn, there's the ability to let people see other accounts similar to yours. You know, that's like an option. And I would say, like, don't click that option. Like, why would you? That's like someone comes in and tells you they want to watch your show. But then you go, well, what about all these other shows? No, they want to watch your show. Like,
so turn that option off.
Yeah, turn that option off. They don't need to see who else is similar to you. That's a distraction and that's going to take them away from your profile.
I didn't even know you could turn that off.
Yeah, you can. That's cool that we're at that stage of the game.
Yeah. Personal branding nowadays is so important because whether you like it or not, you have a digital personal brand. Is it showing up the way that you want to show up as? That's the key. And you have control over that. I love your tips in terms of being on these award lists and submitting your profile and, you know, making sure your LinkedIn is all in check. I think those are all great tips. I know that you mentioned to me, I was asking you before we started, like, you know, what are some key things that you want to come across in this interview? And you talked about planting the seed. So yeah. Before you even start your personal brand, you need to know, I guess, what you want to grow into eventually. And you do that by planting the seed. So tell us about that.
Yeah, I love planting the seed because so often we wish that we were blooms that came in overnight and we think we want to be like this beautiful flower and we have no vision of what that flower should look like. We have no understanding of how big of a pot that flower needs or how much sunlight, you know, that flower, how much love and support and nurturing that needs. When you start off as a seed, when you're really scaling back and showing up for yourself in the most simple way, you're removing and stripping any of those stressors that could misdirect your growth. And I love planting seeds in personal development and brand development because it allows people to grow into their decisions instead of having to wake up and suddenly change, you know.
So give us an example.
So for example, seeding here. So for the last 2 years, I've been making podcasts and 2 years ago started making my own podcast, but knew that I wanted to have more expertise in the actual physical production of it. So for the last year and a half, I've been seeding my audience knows that I'm learning how to make podcasts. I'm learning them to make them for other people and have now made them for dozens of people. They also know that I love talking to people. I've always had that part of my personality and casting. They understand that there's this like relationship, on and off camera relationship, or as a producer, on and off camera relationship where I'm talking and I tend to cut my voice off. So I've been showing up on social media talking more about that so I can prep people for this podcast journey that I'm about to be on. And I'm giving myself the space to step into it without pressure and the grace to do it in a way that I feel I can be called to, but also I can still show up and impress.
I love that. And I think the other benefit there, which you might not realize, is you're holding yourself accountable. Like, for example, when I first started a podcast, I announced it to everybody on LinkedIn, like, I'm starting a podcast. It's going to launch on this day. It made me go towards that goal because I didn't want to let everybody down because I had announced it. So I think it also kind of gives you that accountability piece that might help you actually complete your goal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's interesting you say that because I flubbed twice now my launch date. And part of it, and I actually, my clients pointed this out and I didn't realize I say this, but I tend to focus more on impact than deadline, especially if I have control over the deadline. Like I worked on too many TV shows that were rushed and
it's not worth it to you.
It just didn't look, the message wasn't what we wanted the message to be, but it had to hit air. And all of that time and energy spent was wasted because we had to hit time and money. And that's the business structure of television. With podcasting, that's not the structure.
Super interesting. So talk to us about why you decided to basically leave TV or do less of it.
Yeah.
to work on podcasts? Like, what opportunity do you see? How is it different than TV in your opinion?
So I gave MTV a lot of credit for contributing to culture the way they did because they were creating shows that clearly were contributing to culture. What I wasn't aware of was how many eyeballs were being forced to watch MTV because there was no screens. So as more screens got included, the impact of the shows I was having was less and less. It was exciting to work on a show for 10 episodes and then suddenly have everyone in the world talking about Laguna Beach or Punk'd or Newlyweds, just or the Ashley Simpson show. Just it's cool to put something out there and get that reaction back. What I was missing from my TV experience was the cultural reaction to content. And if I'm going to be part of a project, I like to move the needle. I loved creating content for MTV because you're in front of the youth culture. What better way to set an impression and give words to what could potentially be happening? And TV kind of lost that. And I saw in social media, I saw brands have a need for an executive who can come in to a non-creative company, help them build a department, a creative department, a social media department, a copywriting department, a content team, whatever it is, and have that directly impact their business infrastructure and let them have ownership of their own creativity without impeding its success. So I can help them be creative so that they don't have to worry about making like the wrong decisions piece to that. And the return from social media is killer. It's just like the audience cares. They care, even if it's a smaller audience, they care that you made it. They care that it impacts them. There's just a different relationship. And I think MTV used to have that relationship with people when you would turn it on and then leave the room, you know, you can kind of listen to MTV and not have to watch it and experience it. And I feel that I get that out of podcasts and I feel that I get that out of social media. What I love most about podcasts, fundamentally why I'm shifting what I'm doing and focusing on podcasting, is I truly believe that everyone should have a podcast. I firmly believe that. And it's not because I think they should be media companies or they should own their own narrative and have control over that, because some people don't want that. Yeah. But there's never been a moment in the creative sort of world, there's never been a moment in America where we can create something, publish it, and retain ownership of it. And that ownership is transferable in a way that allows us to take these podcasts and turn them into TV series and films and books and classes and ebooks and lectures and potential collaborations and fitness lines. And just podcasting is literally like what I would do with a casting tape or a production sizzle when I'm trying to sell a show, except it's so much more. It's the seed. It's seeding. Podcasting is seeding. It's me saying, here's the conversations I want to have. I'm seeding the audience, right? For my brand, my personal brand here, I'm saying, this is the seed I'm planting. Let's talk about creativity. Let's talk about sustainability. Let's talk about ways to be innovative. And who are some really impactful people that I may recognize on camera? And what's their sort of approach to it? Because if they're successful, they must have something working for them. Yeah. And I like that piece of it. But I think that there's nothing more malleable than podcasts. Like, you can turn it into anything. And also, there's no rules. It can be 2 minutes, 5 minutes,
exactly.
45 minutes.
There's no rules.
Daily, weekly.
And you get to own it.
Yes.
And you have control. And as somebody who has been rejected and rejected over and over again, I've been picked. We want you to lead the show, but oh, you're not good enough. We want you to do this, but oh, you're not good enough.
Not good enough, but didn't do enough what they wanted you to do.
I don't know. That's a whole other conversation of why we think that I didn't get my reality TV show when I was offered one so many times, right?
Training, right? It was giving you this moment.
Exactly.
Imagine if someone said to you, oh, Holly, you're under contract. You can't. No, there's no young and profiting. That's ours.
Exactly. I know. So thank God I'm out on my own and I own my own thing. And to your point, podcasting has so much opportunity. And I agree. I think everybody should have a podcast. It's such a great way to even just meet new friends. Like,
yeah,
forget about the business or the fame or just even just have great conversations and learn new things. So I totally agree there. Okay. So my last couple of questions for you. You are somebody who finds talent. you must meet a lot of people who have a lot of charisma. Mm-hmm. What are the things that make people shine as a talent? Like, what are the personality traits that you look for or that we should hone if we want to be seen as somebody who's influential or who can be a celebrity or who can be talent? What are the things that you look for in a person?
Decision-making, the ability to decide quickly and understand how you feel about something, and then also knowing what you would do with that information, especially in reality TV or unscripted TV. It's like knowing that this person not only will come to a realization, but will also take action on it, you know? And I think that that is something that I look for, you know, even in traditional, in acting, even in hosts, I look for that because like I'm hiring people who are going to make big change off camera. And I'll let you be on camera and get the notoriety you do because I know that there is a much bigger goal for you there. And by making content, it makes it a little bit easier to see that goal. So there are celebrities that are on social media now that are talking about mental health all the time. And if I want to be working with a celebrity that is aligned in mental health, I now know what their alignment is versus before where I would have to guess and it would be a very different process. So decision-making is a huge one. I think being impeccable in your speech, being super articulate and understanding what you want to say. It's okay if the words don't come out right, but the tone and the intonation and the direction of the conversation.
Like confidence in that way, yeah.
No one wants to, you know, I think the easiest way for me to return to you week after week is if I know where you stand. And understanding your point of view, understanding where you stand on certain issues without knowing what those issues are, but knowing that those issues are going to come up. So every week I have someone like you that I can, you know, having a strong point of view, a personal sense of style, it doesn't necessarily mean a good sense of style, but just your own unique way of presenting yourself. That's some good old fashioned MTV, you know, tricks that were certainly beaten to my head because you want people who visually connect with their audience the same way that they do internally. And to your point, that's all about communicating the idea and making sure that.
Well, what I'm hearing is consistency. So consistency in how you show up, consistency in how you make decisions or your beliefs, consistency in how you dress.
The consistency piece is important. You'll notice it, and I'll say this now, you'll notice it as you're watching the Today Show or any morning show where there's an ensemble cast and you know there's a good old-fashioned wardrobe closet. They stick to their colors. And there's a reason why that works, is that balance. Even podcasting has shifted from being able to be something that we do in our tiny little silos to we need 2, 3, 4, 5 people. We need more people working on this to make it what it needs to be seen so that it has the impact that it can have.
Hold tight, everyone. Let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsors. Young and Profiters, I'm about to be jet setting all over the world. I'm going to London, Cancun, New Orleans, and New York to speak. I'm going to be up there with the bright lights and I want to be spiffy. I want to look fresh. And so I'm going on a big shopping spree. I got to get clothes. I got to get hair stuff, skincare stuff, makeup. But I'm not going to feel guilty about this shopping spree because Rakuten's Big Give Week is back. Rakuten is the shopping platform for savvy savers. From May 6th to May 13th, they're having their biggest cashback event of the year. I'm talking about 15% cashback at hundreds of stores with additional cashback bonuses. And they've got so many stores participating in their Big Give Week. So when it comes to clothes, I'm looking at Splendid and Good American. And when it comes to beauty, they've got so many good stores participating. They've got Ulta, Fenty, Bobbi Brown, Blue Mercury, and all the products that we love. Now we can get cash back. It's like getting a discount on the stuff you're going to buy anyway. It's absolutely amazing. They even have travel brands, so that's going to be super convenient for me with all my upcoming trips. Expedia, hotels.com. You can get deals on everything from electronics to home goods to travel and beauty. Young and Profiters, you're going to want to grab this limited time deal with both hands. You get high cashback rates for only 8 days. So hurry. Membership is free, and when you sign up and shop today, you get an extra 10% cashback boost. That's an extra 10% cash back on top of the 15% cash back. You won't see higher cash back rates than these. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app at Rakuten. Shoppers, get it. Young and Profiters, as you may know, I launched my LinkedIn Secrets Masterclass a little bit over a year ago. It was my first course. And so far, I've generated well over $500,000. And the best part is, I didn't have to figure out how to set up my mastermind subscriptions, how to do abandoned cart targeting, and all of that tech geeky stuff. I just left that all to Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And if you're in that I need to sell more with less stage, Shopify Magic is your AI superpowered sidekick ready to whip up captivating content that converts. And it doesn't matter if you're selling digital products or vegan cosmetics. Shopify helps you sell anything, anywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Stop those online window shoppers in their tracks and turn them into loyal customers with the internet's best converting checkout. I'm talking 36% better on average compared to the other options out there. It's no wonder Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US, including huge global brands like Allbirds and Thrive Cosmetics. It took me a day to set up my Shopify store. I set up chat, took 2 minutes, and I was done. 1 month from thinking of the idea to implementation, a year later, I've made $500,000 on the idea. That's what it takes in 2024, just a good idea, and then utilizing a platform like Shopify that can help you make it a reality. There is no excuse these days. If you've got a good business idea and you think you'll be a good entrepreneur, you don't have to wait any longer. You don't have to be super techie, and you never have to worry about figuring it out on your own. Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/profiting. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/profiting now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/profiting. Young and Profiters, we are all making money. But is your money hustling for you? Meaning, are you investing? Putting your savings in the bank is just doing you a total disservice. You got to beat inflation. I've been investing heavily for years. I've got an E-Trade account. I've got a Robinhood account. And it used to be such a pain to manage all of my accounts. I'd hop from platform to platform. I'd always forget my Fidelity password. And then I have to reset my password. I knew that needed to change because I need to keep track of all my stuff. Everything got better once I started using Yahoo Finance, the sponsor of today's episode. You can securely link up all of your investment accounts in Yahoo Finance for one unified view of your wealth. They've got stock analyst ratings. They have independent research. I can customize charts and choose what metrics I want to display for all my stocks so I can make the best decisions. I can even dig into financial statements and balance sheets of the companies that I'm curious about. Whether you're a seasoned investor or looking for that extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com. Well, this is so exciting. I'm so excited for your new podcasting journey. Tell everybody about your new network, your new show that's coming out.
Oh, I'm so excited. I have a podcast. It's available anywhere where you listen to podcasts. And then I have a podcast on TV, which I'm super excited. It's a 30-minute show. It's being distributed by Bespoke TV on DirecTV on Thursday nights, prime time, which I'm super excited about. And I think it's turning into, it's a little bit like Inside the Actor Studio for us, creatives that have a process that we can identify only after we've done it and try to make into the 2020 piece to what we do, where we love looking back and trying to make sense of what it is so that we can be at peace with it or okay with it, the process that it is.
Really cool. And the last question I ask all my guests, and this is an opportunity to give a piece of advice or gem that you never mentioned yet, is what is your secret to profiting in life?
Oh, I love that. Sharing.
Sharing.
Yeah, sharing. I profit the most when I share. I get, and I don't do it because of the return, but the parts where I am most profitable or successful financially or emotionally in my career have always been when I'm sharing that moment. And it's hard for me sometimes to release control and trust somebody to be able to create something larger than what you could have done yourself. And in that sharing is, or collaborating, we can call it, but in that sharing, that's where I'm at my best. If you're sharing it with somebody, that's 50-50. So if you're profiting, you're only 50% of, you know, 50% of what I make with someone else, I promise you, is way more than 100% of what I would have made for myself.
I totally agree. I think collaborating is so powerful and quite honestly underrated. And I feel like every successful person that I know has a team and like prides themselves in their team. And you can scale yourself 10x, 20x, 30x when you have a team.
Yeah,
you can do so much more when you're not just on your own. And there's people have so many different strengths to pull on that are your weaknesses. So I totally agree.
It's a very exciting time to be creating content and media. I'm happy I have like my TV background. So I come from like earned media. So I try to make everything great. And
all those experiences are going to help you now in different ways.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I have to say, you make me feel pumped about being a podcaster in my position right now. Cause I'm like, damn, I did this on my own, you know? And that's pretty powerful when you think about now all these people from TV are coming at it.
All these TV people.
I'm really glad that I started 4 years ago, let me tell you.
Yeah. And I'm kind of bummed, you know, I did my first podcast, Man and Wife, in 2007. It's been 14, 13 years now since I've touched podcasts, which is a bummer that I kind of stepped away from it. But
it's all good. It's not too late. It's never too late.
And that's the beauty of podcasting, is that when people want you, if you've prepared yourself and if you've done your job to be discoverable, then they will find you.
Exactly. Awesome. So where can our listeners go to learn more about you and everything that you do, Vinny?
Oh my gosh, you're amazing. I'm on all social media. I'm Vinny Potestivo on everything. And I just reach out and say hi and let me know what's going on. And I do have one-on-one clients, and I am opening up a development mastermind in November, and I'm getting ready to do my first keynote speech in October. So I have some fun personal things that I'm working on that I hope trigger some more opportunities to work with people. But the way I love starting off any relationship is just like reach out and say hi and like, let's just chat a little bit.
And I
don't mind that.
I love that. He is really nice and really open. You can find him on Instagram. I'll put all his links in the show notes. Thank you so much, Vinny. It was a great conversation.
Oh, you rock. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Young and Profiting Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. I love talking to Vinny about modern celebrity culture and discoverability. When Vinny entered the media industry, he did not know anyone. He had to figure out how to network with other professionals. He explained that his role as a casting director was like reading the stars. He's all about giving people with talent and voice a platform. Vinny and I talked about how important discoverability is in the entertainment industry and when it comes to personal branding. Personal branding is the practice of marketing people and their careers as brands. Your personal brand is how you promote yourself. You have a personal brand whether you like it or not. It is that unique combination of skills, experience, and personality that you want your followers to see. It's telling your story, and it's the impression people gain from your online reputation. What makes a person a celebrity is being celebrated by an audience. Vinny talked about planting the seed and the importance of planting a seed. He worked on a podcast for 2 years, but he knew he wanted his content to be top-notch, so he slowly learned more and built his brand. I think that is so important to remember. Success in the media industry or any other industry doesn't happen overnight. It's all about planting that seed and developing your skill set and your network over time. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to learn more about surviving the entertainment industry, go check out episode number 101, Green Lights with Matthew McConaughey. Here's a clip from that episode.
Well, I've got 3 out of 4 and I'm going to get the 4th. All right. And pulled out. It's the first 3 words I ever said on camera in a film. 1992. And then we did the scene, and then I kept getting invited back every night. The director kept inviting me back, and that whole cast would involve me in the scenes. They'd ask me questions in the middle, ask my character questions in the middle of the scene, and sort of they wrote me into the picture. And all of a sudden, I worked 3 weeks. 3 lines turned to 3 weeks work, and it was awesome. And I had a great time doing it. People were telling me I was good at it. I'm getting paid $300 a day. I'm going, is this legal? It's so much fun. And people were telling me I'm good at it. Please, I go back, I graduate college, And I drive out to Hollywood with a U-Haul and $3,000 the next year. And here I am, 28, 29 years later, turned into a career.
Again, if you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to learn more about the peaks and pitfalls of the entertainment industry, go check out episode number 101, Green Lights with Matthew McConaughey. Now, as always, I want to end the show giving a shout out to one of my recent Apple Podcast reviewers. And this week's shout out goes to Jaden Teal. Hala is an amazing interviewer. She always finds the best experts to discuss a range of topics from social media to mental wellness to finance tips. I really enjoy every episode because Hala breaks down the topic and makes it really digestible for anyone to truly listen, learn, and profit. This is a must-listen podcast for anyone looking to improve themselves. Oh, thank you so much, Jaden. And I love that you used our tagline, listen, learn, and profit, in the review. That was so cute. Thank you so much for taking the time and being so thoughtful to write us a review. For everybody tuning in right now, leaving us a review is the number one way to thank me and the folks who work on Young and Profiting podcast. So please take the time to drop us a review on Apple or wherever you listen to this podcast. And I also love when you guys share us on social media. One of the cool things that people have been doing lately is taking a screenshot of their app and then uploading it to their Instagram story. You guys can tag me at Yap with Hala, and then I'll repost it and we can then talk in the DMs. We can get to know each other. I can hear your feedback, and I love to get your feedback. Reading your reviews is my favorite thing to do. You can also find me on LinkedIn. Just search for my name, Hala Taha. Big thanks to the Yap team. As always, this is Hala signing off.